Please do keep that passage there in Colossians chapter 3 in front of us. It'll be a help as we focus on that together this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that in your kindness you speak to us personally through the words of the Scriptures. We pray that this morning your Holy Spirit would remind us of your love for us and shape our lives that they might be pleasing to you. Amen. Well, this passage speaks of the values, the qualities which should shape us as the church, as the people of God. I've been looking out this week for the mottos of various different organisations and clubs. For example, the motto of Cardiff City Football Club is Fire and Passion. What a great motto. Speaks of their values of bringing energy and enthusiasm to their football. Well, Sandhurst, the Army Training Academy, has an excellent motto. It is Serve to Lead. It speaks of their noble values of service and leadership. I wonder if you know what the motto or the mission statement of the Coca-Cola company is. I looked it up. This is their mission statement: to refresh the world in body, mind and spirit. Now that is quite a big claim for their sugary tooth rotter. But it does speak of their ambition, doesn't it, as they aim to refresh the world in all of those ways. Well, what motto would you choose for us as a church, as the people of God? To put it another way, what values should we prize that will shape us as an organisation? It's an important question. Having the wrong values or no values leads to ruin. Having the right values will lead us to thrive as an organisation, indeed as the Church of God here in Wargrave in England and in the world. Well, in this Colossians reading, Paul shows the young church in Colossae and us three wonderful values to shape our life together as the people of God. And they are love for one another, treasuring the word of Christ and living for Jesus in all we do. And that's what we're going to explore this morning. But before he gets to the specifics, Paul shows us the source from which these values flow. He says at the start of the passage, in effect, remember who you are. You see, one of the big dangers facing Christians is forgetfulness. I'm not talking about forgetting where you put the car keys, inconvenient as that is, or forgetting your wedding anniversary, highly embarrassing as that may be, but rather forgetting what God has done for us and who he has made us. That's why Paul starts the passage in verse 12 by saying, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Christian believers, we must remember who we are. We're chosen by God to belong to him. We're holy in his sight, cleansed of our sin, and set apart as his special people. And we are dearly loved by the God of the universe. Have you seen this week the photos of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge in the garden with their baby Prince George? And the love they have for that child shines off the page. Well, Prince George is dearly loved. And Paul says to his readers, we are dearly loved. Not by the future King of England, but by the God of the universe. And we need to remember that, especially when we're under pressure, when things are hard. Every day, even today, God thinks of you and his heart is full of love. He cares about you. He's working for your good. He sent his son to bring you to be with him forever. And that is as true on our worst day as it is on our best day. We are dearly loved. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, we become part of God's people. And Paul says, remember who you are, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And it's remembering that which is the great source from which these values flow. Let's think then about that first value that should mark us as a church, love for one another. As the dearly loved people of God, how should we treat each other? The Bible says, love one another. We see this in verse 12 once again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So a policeman clothes themselves with a navy blue uniform and a high helmet. A soldier clothes themselves with action boots and camouflage and a bulletproof vest. But what is the distinctive clothing of the people of God that will equip us for his service? Well, Paul says we're to clothe ourselves with compassion, that heartfelt concern for other people, with kindness, with humility, seeing the needs and views of others as just as important, more important than our own, with gentleness, and with patience, that love that keeps on loving, even when it's difficult, even when we're let down. That is the wonderful wardrobe that we're to wear as the people of God. Verse 13 continues, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Sadly, even in the church, we will be hurt and wronged by others. We need to be realistic about that. We can let those wrongs fester like a splinter. There was once an American general who said, I never forgive. And of course, that leads to those hurts festering away. And so Paul says instead, think of how the Lord has forgiven you. And then think how to respond to those who have hurt us, even at church. Verse 14 says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So love for each other is to be like the golden sash around our middles. It binds together our compassion and our forgiveness. It binds us together with each other. I've been very struck this year by the sincere compassion and love and concern that so many in our church have for one another. And it has been wonderful to see. It is a sign of that true work of God. And it is God-like. Because these exact words that we're encouraged to do are used elsewhere in the scriptures for how the Lord Jesus deals with us in his tenderness. So compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness and love. That's how he treats us and how we're to treat each other. That's why verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Christ brings us peace with God, with ourselves, with each other, and we're to let his peace control how we relate to each other. So this is the first value that Paul gives us. As the dearly loved people of God, love one another. Now someone might say, all of this talk of love, but surely what's really important is what we do. The number of activities we have as a church, the quality of our services. But the Bible would say, no, it is this love for one another which is of vital importance. Verse 15 ends, and be thankful. To love each other is not meant to be a burden, it's a wonderful privilege as the Holy Spirit reminds us of God's love and works this love one for another. It is something to be very thankful for. Well, let's move to our second value. Love for one another, yes. But also we are to treasure the word of Christ. As the dearly loved people of God, what attitude should we have to the word of God? Well, we're to treasure it. Let's look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? Think of the difference between a stranger who visits your house for lunch and a treasured friend who stays in your house for the whole month. Now, the stranger is only in your house for a short time. There are rooms of the house which the stranger may not go into. And the stranger certainly isn't allowed to rearrange the furniture if they want to. But think, on the other hand, of the dearly loved friend. Well, they're in the house for the long term. They can access all areas. And if for any reason they need to rearrange the furniture, well, they're free to do so. That's what it is to live somewhere richly, to dwell richly in your house. Then Paul says, let the word of Christ, the message of Jesus, the message of the Bible, dwell in our lives richly, like that treasured friend. So not just in our lives for a few hours on Sunday morning, but in there through the week, able to go into every area of life, and able to challenge us as well as comfort us, to rearrange the furniture if you like. Saying, let the message of the Bible dwell in you richly. Treasure the word of Christ. Now the verse 16 continues to say that this happens as we teach and admonish one another. It's not just sermons that help the word dwell in us richly. We all have a role to play as we teach one another. So we share with one another what we're learning from the word of God. Those conversations after church and in the week. And it happens as we sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. Singing the word of God helps it find a home in our hearts. In the early church, the word of Christ dwelt in them richly, not just through sermons, but as they all taught one another and as they sung together. This is our second value. It really matters to us as a group. We treasure the word of Christ. Love for one another, treasuring the word of Christ. The third value is to live for Jesus in all that we do. Not just on Sunday mornings, but in all that we do. And we see this in verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That verse is utterly comprehensive, isn't it? Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, do it all for him and the way he would do it. Just as a British ambassador represents Great Britain in everything they do, so as Christ's ambassadors, we're to represent him in everything we do. I love the story of the British ambassador in Washington who one December was phoned by a radio station and the disc jockey asked him what he would like for Christmas. Anxious not to appear greedy, the ambassador replied, "Oh, nothing really, or maybe just a nice pair of new slippers." Thought no more about the conversation. Well, he was somewhat shocked, apparently, on Christmas morning when he put the radio on to hear a special programme about the Christmas wishes of the diplomatic corps. And the listeners were informed that the French ambassador was longing for peace on earth this Christmas time, whilst the Chinese ambassador was hoping for an end to world hunger, whereas the British ambassador was hoping for a nice new pair of slippers. Well, it reminded the ambassador that in everything he did, he was representing the country. Actually, I think he represented us rather well in that instance. Well, in the same way, as Christ's ambassadors, we are called to live for Jesus in all that we do. Whether we're doing the shopping, or phoning the children, or sitting in a lesson at school, or playing a round of golf, or looking after the kids, or tidying the kitchen, or doing a day's work, or chatting to our neighbours, it can all be done for him and in the way he would do it. Again, verse 17 ends, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To be Christ's ambassador is not intended to be a burden, it's a high privilege, and it gives a wonderful significance, a wonderful dignity to even the most ordinary, the most mundane tasks of life. So these are the values that are to shape us together as the people of God. And we started with the mottos of some other organisations. Cardiff Football Club, fire and passion. Sandhurst, to serve, to lead. Coca-Cola, refresh the world. Well, they're not bad. But we could make a motto for us from this passage. As God's dearly loved people, we love, we listen, and we live. We love one another, we listen, or better, treasure the word of Christ, and we live for Jesus in everything that we do. And it all flows from the first part of the motto, doesn't it? Remembering that we are the dearly loved people of God. We love, we listen, and we live. Let's pray. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, our Father, thank you that even today, as you think of us, your heart is full of a wonderful love for us. We pray that as those who know that we are loved by you, more and more we would be clothing ourselves with that compassion, treasuring the word of Christ, and seeking to live for Christ in all that we do. Pray that you would work in us what you command of us. Amen.